Okay, freaky fam. Now, obviously, like me, you love the paranormal. You love the freaky, you love the strange. We love it. And if you're looking for freaky places to visit, well, I have got a good one for you. Braxton County, West Virginia. Yes, absolutely beautiful, full of history, and a hotspot for paranormal activity. Now, Braxton County is known for the very famous Flatwoods Monster, but that's not the only bit of strange that calls Braxton home. Uncover all that's weird that Braxton has to offer. Bigfoot, monsters, ghosts, UFOs, and even a Thunderbird. You've got haunted towns, haunted locations, and some of the waters at Braxton County are home to some of West Virginia's biggest monster fish. You've also got the Flatwoods Monster Museum, where you can learn everything about the 1952 sighting of the creature. And just down the road, you've got the West Virginia Bigfoot Museum. Oh man, I need to get there. Guys, this place sounds like a freaky dream. I want to go there now. For more information, check out www.braxtonwv.org/freaky. The link will be in the show description, so make sure you check it out.
Let's get freaky.
Something's in your room. You can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?
Okay, guys, I am super excited to welcome back to the show the fantastic Al Santariga. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, Tommy. How are you, my brother?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for coming back, man. This is your fourth time on the show now.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk paranormal tonight, but I did have some Bigfoot stuff happen around my house last week that I think you're gonna want to hear about. So, you know.
100%.
We could just start with that, and then we could go off into the paranormal world. You know what I mean? I don't want to bore your audience with this more and more Bigfoot stuff all the time.
You are definitely not boring anyone. That is for sure.
Okay. Well, I noticed a friend of mine, Chris Reinhart from Discover Bigfoot in Connecticut. He's got a thing going on with his wife's honey bird feeder, like the Sasquatches are coming in and drinking the sugar water out of it, right? So, you know, he said, you should keep an eye on your honey bird feeder. I said, well, you know, my wife's honey bird feeder, I actually had to weave through a fence because we got all these wild, my wife feeds every animal under the sun. We got all these wild cats out here. So every time a hummingbird goes next to it, they jump up on the hummingbird feed and they pull it out of the ground. So I got it weaved in between the garden fence so it can't come out. So I'm not paying any attention to it because we haven't been out in the garden all winter long. But the other day I noticed something really weird. I looked and the hummingbird feeder was down. And I was like, well, the only way that could come down is if someone literally pulled it out of the fence and threw it down. And then I noticed something else that was weird. I got two bird feeders that face each other. One faces west, one faces east. Well, the one facing west, which is next to the hummingbird feeder, is still facing west. but the one facing east is facing south now. And all the bird food was gone. So I'm looking at that. And then I noticed there's a big softball size rock in the middle of, in between both feeders in front of the bird bath. And I'm like, what? I was like, even if a deer jumped over the wall and kicked a rock down, for this rock to roll around the bird bed and end up directly in front of it is like a million to one shot, right? So I go out and I look, and I notice that the honey bird feeder isn't pulled straight out of the ground. Where the metal attaches, there's like a clip that attaches the top part to the bottom. It's been bent right off, like snapped off, and then just thrown to a side. So I was like, okay. So then I looked at the bird things, and I left the two bird feeders alone, but I grabbed the rock and I put the rock back up on the stone wall. So then I went into the far backyard and I started looking around, and I found in the far backyard what we call a tree star, where they take all these sticks and they make like a star out of it, right? On the ground. They have aerial tree stars and they have ground tree stars. This one was on the ground. So I took a picture of it and I did a couple of knocks just to see if anyone would knock back. I didn't hear anything and forgot about it the rest of the day. That where I sit on the couch faces the across the street from my house is the wetlands. I got 100 acres of wetlands. My side of the couch faces the wetlands. And I was sitting there by the window. The window is wide open, right? And I'm sitting there by the window and I'm watching the Yankee game. And I'm thinking, man, if something came by here, he could just reach in the window and pull my fat ass right out, right? And, you know, I said, what am I doing here? Why am I thinking like this? Because I'm thinking about the honey bird feeder, the bird feeders, the rock, the tree star that's in my yard. All of a sudden, hand to God, something walks by and slaps the house. Boom. And I was like, what the hell was that? I grabbed my tactical flashlight, which is a 1500 lumen flashlight, and I ran out the front door, and I was looking in the backyard, and I'm looking in the backyard. I didn't see anything in here. I'm looking in the trees. I'm looking for eyeshine up high. I'm looking for eyeshine down low. And I never, the thought never came to my head, I should look on the other side of the road where the wetlands were. You know what I mean? Like, normally I would have shined the light everywhere, but I didn't. I just shined it in the backyard. Didn't hear anything. Didn't see nothing. Okay. Sat there. That was 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock, something like that. And I'm watching, the Yankee game ends, and I'm watching, like, you know, some paranormal movie shows that I always watch, you know, like till 11, 12 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, a black helicopter comes over my house. And the house is fucking shaking, bro. I mean, the house is shaking. And I go outside with the tactical flashlight, and I look up in the sky, and there this helicopter is just above the tree line, like hovering over my house, like, why are you hovering over my house? You know what I mean? I'm waiting for like the FBI to propel down on me or something, you know, or special ops or something. But it stood there and then it left. Okay. Now I'm talking to my friend Chris Reinhardt in Connecticut, and he had the same thing happen to him. He had a black helicopter come over his house, right? And right before he had the black helicopter come over his house, he started getting telepathic communications with the Sasquatches that he deals with. And they told him their names. Like, there was a one name that was like a female name and one name that was a male name. And it was, you know, they were funky names. You know what I mean? You wouldn't think of them. And so he's like, I'm having this telepathic communication. I said, dude, that means your vibration is raising. So they're having communication with you. I said, it's very, very cool. He goes, yeah, but what's the deal with the black helicopters? I said, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're tracking these things to your bird feeder. and all of this stuff. I said, now what's happening at your house is happening at my house with the bird feeders and the bird food and all of this crazy stuff. So the other night I'm laying in bed and I'm having an out of body experience, right? And I'm standing at the foot of my bed looking at me sleeping, but I'm not in my house. I'm in a log cabin in the middle of the woods. I don't know where I am. It's an old cabin, man, pretty rinkety old cabin. And it's got these big windows with no curtains on it or nothing. And I'm sitting at the foot of my bed, looking at me sleep, wondering where the hell am I? You know, what's this log cabin? And why am I in the middle of the woods, you know? When all of a sudden, an auburn Sasquatch face comes into the window. Right. And this Sasquatch is looking in the window, but it's looking at me sleeping. And it's telling me telepathically that its name, and this was its name, Hya, H-Y-A, apostrophe, N-E-T-H, Hyaneth. That's its name. It, right. And it tells me that they know we're planning an expedition to the sacred site. They're very excited to see me. I haven't been there in 2 years. They know that Chris from Connecticut is coming with me, and they're excited to meet him because they've heard a lot about him from the other Sasquatches. And I'm like freaking out, right? So I wake up in the morning and I was like, dude, Was that really an out of body experience, or was that a dream? So I called the woman that I know personally, who has a telepathic communications with the Sasquatches on her property. And I said, A, was the one I seen a male or a female? And B, was that a dream, or was that, did that really happen? And I said, C, if you could find out, you know, what it was that I'm supposed to get out of this. And she goes, okay, Al, let me get back to you. She called me the following day and she said, yes, that really happened. Yes, that was a female in the window. Yes, they're excited to see you again. Yes, they're excited to meet Chris. Yes, they've heard a lot about him. And that's all they would tell me, because they said that communication was just for you. So I was like blown away. I was like, you know, because I've been trying to make telepathic communication for years. And everybody always told me, all the psychics that I know told me, it's because I can't focus. My brain doesn't slow down. It's just racing all the time. But I guess I was in the right state of unconsciousness, right? My was wide open, and they made contact with me, and it was crazy, bro. It was crazy. It was just, I called Brian, and Brian's like, yeah, well, maybe it's just a dream. I go, yeah. And your remote viewing may be a bunch of bullshit too. You know what I mean? I said, because you've been hanging around with Chris long. So I called Chris and I said, Chris, you know, I told Chris, and Chris like, wow, that's amazing now. And I said, he goes, he knows the woman that I'm talking about, the one who's connected telepathically. And he said, did you ask her if they're all connected telepathically? And I said, yeah, I did. And he goes, what did she say? He said, yes, they are. They all communicate with each other telepathically. He said, and so I guess the ones in the Connecticut and the ones in New York can, I guess, communicate telepathically, you know? And I said, well, then why the tree knots and all that other animalistic stuff? And I said, because they have that DNA in them as well. And it was just crazy, man. That was just crazy. Like I never in my wildest imagination, I probably say this all the time, I never in my wildest imagination ever expected anything like that, you know? I guess my consciousness was just wide open that night, and it was a perfect vibration for it to communicate with me, you know?
Yeah, and that happened last week.
That happened. Yeah, that happened just last Thursday. Yeah. You know, all that stuff happened last week around here, you know?
Amazing.
And I'm wondering if it's because we're planning on going next month to the sacred site and they know we're going, that they're ramping up all the activity around the house. Like, maybe because they're getting excited that we're going there, they're letting me know by doing this stuff with the bird feeders and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so interesting, man.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. I haven't told anybody but you and Brian. Brian, you know,
that's Chris, an honor, man.
You, Brian, and Chris are the only three guys I told.
Wow.
But I figured I'd whatchamacallit, put it out on your show tonight. Yeah. You got the whatchamacallit, the scoop on it, man. You know.
Yeah. But, awesome.
I mean, it was just so unexpected. And it was just so mind boggling, you know? And like I said, if I didn't know this one woman who has them on our property, who's been communicating with them since she was a small child, you know, she's one of my go-to people, you know? And yeah. I reached out to her immediately. She's like, nope, that happened. That was for you. They wouldn't tell me anything. They said it was all the message you got was for you.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, cool.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Awesome. I mean, I hear about all the time these people having communications with a mental telepathy, and you know, God knows I wanted to do it, but I never expected for it to happen in my bed while I slept. I figured it would happen out in an investigation when we're meditating or something, you know?
Yeah.
That's just going to make me want to meditate when we get out there. So much deeper now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Experiencing that, does that change the way you see the Sasquatch? Or,
you know, I always, Brian and I, we discussed it all the time. If these creatures like the Bigfoots and the Dogmen were able to communicate with each other telepathically, and if so, was it just locally or was there great distance involved? And it was just something we both debated, you know, like maybe, you know, we wouldn't take it off the table because you never take anything off the table. We've been around long enough. We changed our minds a million times, you know, so we don't take anything off the table, but you debate it every now and then. The subject comes up and we start picking each other's brains and we debate it, you know. And of course, Brian, you know, Brian is all over the top. Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, you know, he knows for sure. Like, you know, and I was like, you know, of course, I got to call bullshit on everything because he's always like over the top. You know what I mean? Like when he says something, even if it's just his opinion, it's like facts. You know what I mean? But there are no facts. But he, you know, but we would debate it. I mean, so, you know, sometimes he always kind of leaned towards yes. And I was always waffling on the fence, yes and no, like if, you know, my argument to him was, well, if you're so sure that they do, then why all the knocks, the tree knocks and the whoops and the rock knocks? Why all that animalistic stuff? You know, why? It wouldn't make sense if I can just communicate with my brother, you know, and telepathically where no one can hear me. Why do a whoop? Why do a knock? Why do a tree, you know, a scream? And we never really had a good answer for that. If you're advanced enough where you can do kind of telepathic communications, then why knock on a goddamn tree like a gorilla, you know? And when I reached out to this woman and I asked her about it, and she says, because it's bred into their DNA. So they still, even though they have these abilities to do shit like that, they still do stuff that's like raw nature to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, man. So is that lady you talked to, is she based in the New York area as well? Or
no, I think she's down south, North Carolina or Tennessee or something like that. Yeah. She's down south, yeah. But she's one of my go-to people. I got like half a dozen people that have been doing this a lot longer than me that are my go-to people. And whenever I have anything, I reach out to all of them, and see how they answer it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's funny because they'll all give me, they'll all say it differently, but the bottom line is that it's all the same thing, but it's just, they just say it differently. You know what I mean? Where one says this and one says that, but both of the meanings are the same, you know? Yeah. It's funny how I get all these different answers, but they all mean the same thing. So I guess it's got to work. You know what I mean? They're just defining it differently, you know? Yeah. But it's crazy stuff. So I was like, when my friend Chris Reinhart from Connecticut was telling me about the stuff he's dealing with, I was like, dude, I'm jealous, man. You know, you got all this communication going on. And this dude is always going like, he's going to Colorado, New Mexico, he's going all over investigating. I said, stay home. You got shit happening in your backyard. You don't have to go to, Arkansas. Stay home. You know, I can't get him to stay home in his backyard. You know, he's like, because he's really, it blows him away when he goes all over the states, you know, and they all act exactly the same way. But the ones he's dealing with in Connecticut, it's like no matter where you go, they all act the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's crazy. So now that I know that they can actually do this this communication, and, you know, I don't know if there's a distance thing involved or not. You know what I mean? I haven't gotten into that deeply, but from my house to Chris's house is a solid, like, I'm going to say anywhere from 50 to 100 miles radius. You know what I mean? We're an hour, maybe an hour and a half away from each other, 60, 100 miles away. And so if they can communicate to mine down here, you know, like, hey, our guy is coming down to see you guys, treat him good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Then that's pretty impressive because that's a pretty good distance, you know?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I find it amazing as well that he's given you a name as well.
Yes, that's the first time I ever got, I think it's the first time I ever actually dreamt of a Sasquatch in all the years, except for nightmares when I was a kid after the big one in Florida. I had nightmares every night for like 2 years. But I mean, that's the first time I ever dreamt of anything. And well, because it was actually an out-of-body experience. And the first time I ever had mental telepathy. And it was funny because I was told by a friend of mine, an off-worlder, he told me, he said, now that you had your, you raised your consciousness, he said, your mind will be open up enough now where you'll have the communication where you couldn't have it before. He said, so next time you go out, do the meditation when you're at the location and see what happens, you know? And I did have a dream once. I had a dream once that there was I dreamt that we were at the sacred site and there was a footprint at the sacred site. And Brian and I went out to the sacred site during the day and we did find a small footprint, like a baby's footprint. That, and I guess that was the footprint I was seeing in my dream. But in my dream, it didn't look like a child's footprint. It just looked like a footprint, you know? But when we got there and we found it, because it was up on the ridge where I don't usually go, you know, because that's beyond that ridge is their home range. And when I go to the sacred site, they come up on that ridge to watch me, or whoever goes to the sacred site, I assume they come down to watch. And then, so I made a deal with them. I'll never go up on the ridge. I'll never go over the ridge. But that night I had that dream of that footprint. It was up on that ridge. So I said, I guess they want me to find this up on the ridge. I guess it's okay if I go up there, you know, and Brian and I went up there that one day and sure as shit, we found a juvenile print up on the ridge. Brian's like, oh, we got to go over. I'm like, no, we don't go over this ridge. No. I said, we stay on this side of the ridge, you know?
Yeah.
But, So, I mean, that was something, like I said, that was something that I never expected. I always wanted, you know, but just never thought in a million years. And, you know, when I started noticing all that little stuff around the house, like it's like all these little light bulbs are going off in my head, you know what I mean? Like, what happened to the bird feeder? Where'd that rock come from? Why is the hummingbird feeder on the ground? You know, why is there black helicopters over my house? Why is the side of the house where I'm sitting on getting banged? You know what I mean? It's just all this stuff happening all like in 1 week. It's crazy.
Yeah, the black helicopter thing, that's scary, man.
Made the whole house shake, bro. I mean, it was so dark in the sky that you couldn't see it up there, but you could feel it because it was so low.
Yeah.
And when I hit it with the flashlight, I don't think they were happy, you know, because they kind of pulled, they went up higher, you know. But yeah. I was like, as long as they don't start shooting down, I'm okay, you know.
You didn't recognize what the helicopter, who the helicopter belonged to, I suppose.
It looked like your typical army helicopter, you know what I mean? Army,
yeah.
Like a Black Hawk. It looked like a Black Hawk. Yeah, it was big like a Black Hawk. It made that sound like the Black Hawks make. Like I said, it was dark enough where you couldn't see it, but it was low enough where you could feel the helicopter chopping at you, the blades chopping at you, and feeling that pressure hitting you in the chest and everything. It was loud. The whole house was shaking. I was like, oh, man, what the hell's going on up there? You know, I don't know if that's because they were tracking the ones that were in my backyard. You know what I mean? Like they were tracking the ones at Chris's house, maybe, you know? But yeah, crazy stuff.
But I'm excited to hear what happens next when you go out there and, you know, will you pick up a more.
I can't wait to get, it's been a long time. Like, I've gone to other locations the last 2 years because of my ankle surgery and everything, had to chill out because the sacred site is deep in there and it's a very treacherous trail to get in. I mean, like the it's like a goat trail. It's all rocky. And if you go down, you're going to break a knee, a head or whatever. So if you're not ready for the hike in, I wouldn't recommend it. You know what I mean? It's not an easy hike in. And I just wasn't ready because my ankle wasn't up to it. You know, before the surgery, the ankle wasn't strong enough to hold up. And then after the surgery, the doctor said, I'm really supposed to stay off it for a year. He said, but you know, it's been like 6 months and I'm jonesing to get out there. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
I want to come out there with you, man, sometime.
Oh, man, you're more than welcome.
I would love that.
Yeah, more than welcome to come out anytime, brother. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome stuff. So today we're going to talk paranormal today.
Sure. Talk paranormal. I'll give you another first. Yeah. Something that I totally forgot about for like 30 years.
Wow.
I was listening to a show the other night. I don't remember who it was, but I was listening to a show. And the people in the show said something that made like a light bulb go off in my head. And I was like, holy crap, I forgot all about that experience at that house because I just blocked it out. And it was just so long ago. I've had so much shit happen in that time period that one incident just blew me away. So when I moved from New York to Connecticut, my brother had a really, really big house. He bought a big house. Father was dying of cancer. So he bought a big house and my parents got the basement apartment and my brother had the two floors, the middle floor, the first floor and the second floor. And I moved into the attic apartment. Okay. And the attic was huge. It had its own flight of stairs that went up. The left side was unfinished. It was just like storage. And the right side was like almost like a two bedroom apartment. You know what I mean? So I moved up there. I had my own apartment and the lady sold the house. So I had to get out of the apartment. So I was like between a rock and a hard place and I had to move into my brother's house. So I was like, which I didn't want to do, but I did. And moved into his house, and we carried all the furniture from my apartment and we put it upstairs. And when we got up into the living room, right, there was a little door. It was like maybe a foot and a half or 2 feet by 2 feet. And it was up against the wall, like the at the base of the wall. And I looked at that door and I was like, what the hell is that? You know, me and my cousins who helped me move, my friends who helped me move, were like, where do you want the furniture? And I said, just put the couch up against that little door, man, because I don't know what that door is. I thought it would maybe just been like a crawl space or something that they put extra crap in, you know what I mean? But the other side of the attic was so big, there was a ton of room for shit. Didn't make any sense. And it was a nice apartment, had a nice living room. Went down one flight of stairs, there was a full bathroom right there. I had two bedrooms and a walk-in closet. And I took the bedroom in the back. And when my friends came over, my cousin slept over, they slept in the spare room. And I'm up there and I'm leaning on the couch. I'm watching the Yankee game one night and I hear something crawling around in the wall. And I'm thinking, oh man, we got like a raccoon or a possum or something living in the wall. And I hear scratching and I hear scurrying around. But I was like, you know what? It can't get out of that wall because my couch is up against that door. And I'm sitting on the couch. There's no way anything's moving that little door, right? And I blow it off. And then friend of mine come up, spend the weekend. We go out partying. Then we go down to the college, to the beach, pick up chicks and everything. And we come back and we're both hungover. He's like just crashed on the couch and I'm in bed. And all of a sudden, he hears the door try to open. Boom, boom, boom. Like somebody's trying to come out, right? But he jumps up. He's like, comes around. He goes, dude, that little door is trying to open. It's like, oh, we'll open it up and see who it is, you know? He's like, I'm not opening that door. I was like, well, then don't worry about it. The couch is up against it, you know? But he was freaking out. He left the cake, went to sleep in the spare room. He didn't want to even be near that. And I could hear, like, it sounded like I heard children giggling in the, like, laughing and murmuring in the wall. And so, you know, he comes and he goes. Couple of weeks go by. I'm sleeping upstairs every single night. I'm not having any issues with anything. I'm watching the Yankee game. I'm in that living room. I haven't any issues. One night I'm sleeping in bed and it must have been like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. And I hear a little doll talking, like a Chatty Cathy or something like that. It's called, right? And it's talking. And I pop up out of bed. I'm like, what the F is that? And I hear like a doll talking. And then 2 minutes later, I hear like a fire engine going off. You know, my brother comes charging up the steps like a lunatic, right? Because he wants to kill me because he's got two children downstairs. One is newborn and the other one is like 4 years old. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing up here? You're going to wake the kids up. And I looked at him. I go, yeah, do you really think I'm playing with a Chatty Cathy in a fire truck? You know what I mean? He goes, what's going on? I said, it's that creepy little door, man. There's something in that door. She said, oh, tomorrow we'll find out what's in that door. So the morning comes because I'm taking a fire truck and that baby doll out of it. So we move the furniture and we open the door and we look in and there's all kinds of toys in there, like little kid toys. And there's two beds, like two mattresses. They look like child sized mattresses, right? And he goes, oh, you got to go in and get that shit out. And I'm looking at him, my brother, and I laugh. I said, dude, I'm bigger than you. How am I going to get into that little? They said, the only guy who could fit in there is my father, because my father, because of the cancer, lost a lot of weight. You know, he went from like 160 down to like 120, right? So he was really thin. So we made my father crawl in there, like belly crawl on, like I could make believe you're in World War II, Dad, and just crawl in there. My father belly crawled in there. We brought out all the toys. There was a little fire truck. There was a doll. There was all kinds of like children's toys in there. Pulled out the two mattresses. My brother actually made him sweep that thing, because when you actually went in, it opened up into a nice size room, you know? It's like the whole quarter top of the house, you know what I mean? And he went in, he swept, and my brother made him put a vacuum in it. My brother's a clean freak. Cleaned everything out, closed the door, put the furniture up against it again, took everything out. It didn't matter. The shit would still go off in the middle of the night. You'd still hear a fire truck. You'd still hear the little doll going off. You would still hear the children giggling and laughing, like playing in there, you know? And I used to say all the time, I said, I got to find out what's going on. So I started walking around the neighborhood, talking to the neighbors. And one of the neighbors said, oh yeah, you know, we've been here since, you know, they built these houses. And the people who live next door, they had two retarded children, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And they would keep them upstairs in the attic apartment. But at night, they would tuck them in that room, that little door that was like their safe zone. You know what I mean? So the kids always felt safe and secure inside that room. And I was like, well, that makes a lot of sense. That's why these kids never left. Because they feel safe in this room. And it didn't matter if we took their beds out or their toys, because in their realm, they still got everything, you know? And I would be sleeping. My wife slept over one night when I was dating her, right? She heard the doll go off and she heard the fire engine. She jumped out of bed. She's like, oh, no. Take me home. I'm not staying here. And I was like, I'm not driving you home. It's like an hour back down to New York. We're not driving home in the middle of the night. I said, don't worry about it. The kids can't get out. And I would yell at the kids. I was like, listen, it's late. It's time to go to sleep. Now it's time to go to sleep. And they would go to sleep.
Wow.
And I completely blanked that out of my mind, forgot all about it. All these years that happened. Because, you know, I think the person that I was listening to was talking about growing up in a haunted house. Yeah. And I never felt that any of my houses were haunted. I mean, like this one, we have the mirror. That's the portal where shit comes in and out of, you know what I mean? But, and then it just something triggered that memory of being in my brother's house in Connecticut and that little creepy door in that crawl space bedroom and shit. It was crazy, wow, man. Yeah. It's just crazy. I mean, to think that you know, it's funny because my brother was like, well, and I was telling my brother, I was like, why do you think they're still here? And he says, because that was their safe zone. At night, when their parents tucked them in, they put them in that little room. They felt safe and secure in that room.
Yeah, and they never left.
Even though they're on the other side now, that's where they want to be, because that's where they feel safe and secure, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess they'll be there forever, you know?
Yeah, man.
Isn't that crazy?
When it comes to like kid ghosts and stuff, that for me, that is the freakiest stuff. I don't know what it is about kid ghosts. I find it terrifying, especially when you hear like you said, like the dolls, noise of the doll and stuff. Oh, man.
The crazy thing about it is, even though the doll and the fire trucks were in there all the time, those batteries were six. They were like 40 years old. They didn't work anymore, yeah. You know? And it was crazy because even after we cleaned that whole thing out, you would still hear them playing with the toys, you know?
Yeah.
Having tea parties and stuff like that. You know, the little girls and
stuff. Oh, man.
Yeah, I think the neighbor said they had, the people had twins. They were both, you know, retarded. But I don't think they lived like much. I think they both passed away around 10, 12 years old, something like that. They didn't live to be older. You know what I mean? They died at a young age. So, you know, and in their minds, they were probably, even though they were like 10, 12 physically, their minds, maybe they were still like 7, 8 years old, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're still playing with the toys and crap, you know?
We've had it at night where one of the kids' toys goes off during the night, and it shouldn't do. It just goes off, and that terrifies me massively.
God, don't be terrified, man. Don't be terrified. You just get up. You get up and you say, listen, now is not the time to play with this. During the day is the time. Now it's time for sleep. If I hear it go off again, I'm going to take it out of here. You put it down and you go back to bed and you scold them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't be terrified, because if they can scare you with just having a fire truck go off, they can feed off of your energy, your scared energy. And then they'll constantly do shit to scare you to get that adrenaline rush from you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll remember that next time.
You gotta be a parent. You gotta act like a parent.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's not the time now, guys.
No, this is not the time to play with this stuff. Now's the time for sleep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know.
Did you say about you've got something in your house, a mirror, did you say?
Yes, my father found a mirror that he absolutely loves. My father was like a junk man. He'd drive down the street and he'd see something he liked. He'd pull over. And we were like the only kids in my neighborhood that had an air conditioner in every window, a TV in every room. Because my father would find this stuff. He'd bring it to his carpenter shop. He loved to tinker with stuff, you know, before work. And he would fix all these air conditions and all these TVs. Like, everybody in my family had TVs and air conditions. You know what I mean? I had one chick come over the house one time. And she's like, wow, you guys must be rich. You got a TV in every room and an air kit. And I'm like, nah, it's a long story. My father's a junk man, you know. But he found this mirror. And my father was a carpenter. And he found this mirror and he really loved it. It was a big mirror, man. Big mirror. And he made this really nice frame. He framed it up. He brought it home and he put it in the dining room, our dining room. He said, this is my mirror. I want this. So when he passed, I took that mirror. You know, I was like, that's my father's mirror, you know. And I brought it here, not ever thinking anything about it. And then one night, you know, my wife started having night terrors, okay? And she'd see like a shadow guy, just a regular shadow guy. And sometimes she see like a shadow guy who I call Frank Sinatra. I call him Sinatra because he's got like a little pompadour hat, or whatever they call those little hats. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think they're called pompadours, right? I'm not sure. And then there's another one I call the Marlboro Man because he's got like a cowboy hat with the long cowboy jacket, and really wasn't sure how they were getting, you know, where they were coming from, how they were getting in. And eventually, psychic told me, you have any mirrors in there? I go, yeah, I got two full-size mirrors on the dresser. She goes, well, see if there's, she said, if you put your finger up to a mirror and there's space between your finger and the mirror, it's a portal. I've never heard that before. So I did it and those mirrors were fine. My finger, you know, I think, well, it's not these mirrors. So I said, let me go. One night I'm doing a radio interview with this woman from Alabama or something, right? And I was downstairs in the dining room, and that's where I had my computer room at the time. And as I'm sitting there talking to her, the mirror, she sees an orb come out of the mirror, fly over my head, and go out the back window. And she goes, Al, did you just see that? And I go, yes, I seen it on the camera, on the phone. And she goes, I've never seen an orb other than in pictures. I never seen one in live. I said, well, now you got it caught on your video because you're recording. And then like an hour later, you see it come back through the back window over my head and then make a right, go back into the mirror. So after the show was over, I checked the mirror and it was a portal. So I was like, okay, this mirror is a portal. So, but I'm not going to close it because other than the shadow people that come in, most of the things that are here are either my family, my mother or father, or all the pets we've had over the years. We've been here like 30 years. We've had like 6, 8 cats, you know, and a dog, a German Shepherd. So I've never heard the German Shepherd's collar, or we got a jingle bell on the door, right? When we got the dog, it was on Thanksgiving. He was just a tiny little puppy. And as he got bigger around Christmas time, when he wanted to go out, my wife had jingle bells on the door. He would hit those bells with his nose. That was everybody saying, I want to go. And we never taught him that. He just did it. So my wife never took those bells off the door. She said, if anyone trying to break in, we hear those jingle bells. You get your gun, you know. I'm not thinking that way. I'm thinking if I hear those jingle bells, maybe it's the dog wanting to go out, right?
Yeah.
But I've never heard the bells go off. I never heard the collar. But my cats will sit on the couches and look up and just follow stuff and chase stuff like up the stairs and around. And I try to get the phone out in time to film it to see if I could catch anything, but I'm never quick enough to catch anything. But I've been on the phone with psychics over the years that say, oh, you know, your mother's with you all the time. And I was like, they thought it was my grandmother, because my mother, when she died, she was 92. She had all white hair and everything. She goes, oh, it's your grandmother. I go, you sure it's my grandmother? It's not my mother, because I took care of my mother the last 25 years of her life. My father passed away with cancer, and my brother lived in Michigan, and my sister lived in Florida. I took care of her. She lived in New York with me. And then the woman said, well, I'll describe her for you. And she described her right down to the dress we buried her in. So I said, that's my mom. And that, so then she goes, your mom is with you all the time. He's your guardian angel. I was like, okay. And she's not the only one who told me. And I swear to God, I've had like a half a dozen conversations with like world-renowned psychics that have all told me the same thing. Your mother is with you, you know? So I don't want to close that mirror off. But every now and then, like, it's weird. We'll be sleeping in the bedroom. And even with my eyes closed, I can see darkness come into the room. And as soon as I see darkness come into the room, the temperature drops immediately in the room. And that's how I know, like, there's a shadow person in the room. And as soon as I see the darkness and I feel the temperature, I touch my wife. And the minute I touch her, she's always ice cold. And they're always terrorizing her in her dreams. You know what I mean? So as soon as I put all those three things together, shadow, temperature drop, my wife is ice cold, because my wife runs hot. So if she's ice cold, I usually get up and I look around, and usually the shadow man is standing in the corner, whichever one it is, you know, and then I'll get up and I'll say, no, you got to go. Not on my watch. You're not going to terrorize my wife. And I'll chase him out. And they'll run through the wall, but where the mirror is, but the mirror is on the other side of the wall in the dining room. You know what I mean? And if I go out into the dining room, not the dining room, yeah, the dining room. When I go out into the dining room, they're not there. You know what I mean? So I think they're running through the wall and jumping into that mirror and going wherever they want to go. And like I said, it's always either shadow guy.
Yeah.
Or I call him Sinatra. I said Frank Sinatra, because he's got that little stupid hat that Sinatra used to wear back in the 50s, you know.
Yeah.
Or the Marlboro Man, the cowboy, you know what I mean? And then I'll do stuff the next day. I'll sage the house, or I'll sprinkle salt or holy oil, or I'll put stones in the corners of the room. And I do all kinds of stuff to keep them out of the bedroom so that my wife doesn't have night terrors. That's trying to make that her safe zone. You know what I mean? Otherwise, she really doesn't have any issues with anything. It's only when she's asleep and her subconscious is wide open, you know? And I know she's done shit when she was a kid, like played with Ouija boards and shit like that. And she won't tell me everything she's done. You know what I mean? So, I found the Ouija board in her house when we were dating one time, and she wasn't home. I got there before she got home and looked under the bed, and there was a Ouija board. And I was like, no. I brought that thing out into the woods. I dug a hole and I buried that shit. I was like, no, I'm not sleeping in this room with this thing under the bed. You know what I mean? Screw that.
Yeah.
No, I don't play with those things.
Nah,
but you know, so there's always shit like that. So even it was crazy when we first moved upstate, right? The dormer upstairs was built like 25 years after the house was built, right? To make an addition for like the family grew. It was a 2-bedroom house. They needed more bedrooms. So we got 2 more bedrooms up here. We got another full bathroom. And we were up here sleeping one night, and we just moved up here. And it's dark up here, bro. So when you're from the city and you're used to streetlights and sirens, police cars, and then you come upstate and there's no lights and it's pitch black and you're sleeping, you hear everything. You hear every little thing. And one night, man, I could have sworn it sounded like the house across the street was having a party. I mean, I heard boom, 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 like a heavy bass, you know? Boom, 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 boom. And I'd get up and I'd go downstairs. I'd go out on the front deck and I'd listen and there wouldn't be anything. I'm losing my mind. And I go back upstairs, I go to sleep and you'd hear like music again, but really, really loud. So one time I was so pissed off. I called the sheriff. I said, listen, man, you got to tell these people to shut this fucking music off. Otherwise, I'm going to go to their house. I'm going to kick their goddamn door in and I'm going to blow their stereo up with my shotgun because I got to get up at 4:30 in the morning to go to work. It's 1 o'clock and I'm fucking tired, you know? And the sheriff was like, calm down, relax. Do not leave your house. We'll send a car over there. So the cops go and they send the car. Now, I'm back in bed sleeping. I hear my doorbell ring. I know it's the sheriff because I said I'm going to blow these people's radio up, right? So I open up the door and there's the sheriff. And the sheriff goes, what house is the one with the party going on? I go, that one over there. It's directly across from my house. He goes, I got news for you. I go, okay. He says, I ran a check on those people. They're snowbirds. They go to Florida in the winter. That house is vacant right now because it was in the middle of the winter, you know? He goes, so I don't know what music you hear playing in your house. He said, because I've driven around the whole block twice and there's nobody having any parties. He goes, and whatever you do, don't ever threaten to shoot anything ever again. It will lock you up. And I was like, dude, I work for the federal government. I'm tired. I get up. I commute. I thought someone was having a party, but it was this house. When we moved out of that bedroom, when we moved downstairs, my daughter became a teeny bopper. She got our room. She heard the same thing. She heard the same music. I don't know where it's coming from. I'm in my son's old room now behind me. We have sliding closet doors. It's a walk-in closet. My son put locks on all the doors when he was in here by himself because he said the doors were always open by themselves. Wow. He says, so he would lock them at night because if you lock them, they don't open. But if you don't lock them, they'll open. And I said, oh, it's just the cats coming in at the middle of the night. They go in the closet, you know, for the heat or something, you know. He goes, nope, Dad, I have that door. I have my room door closed because I got the air conditioner on. Because so how are the cats getting in if that door is closed? He says, these closets open by themselves. And my daughter's telling me she heard music in the other room. And when my son-in-law moved in before they got married and bought their house, you know, they lived here for a couple of years to save up money to buy a house. He would say the same thing. He says, that room upstairs is haunted. He says, because I hear people talking and I hear music and I looked all over and there's nobody up there, you know, and I was like, I don't understand how this part of the house could be haunted. It's an add-on. It came 25 years later. You know what I mean? How could, if the original part of the house is haunted, I can understand, but how is this part haunted? But after a while, I guess you just got used to the music and the whispering and all that other shit. And you just go to sleep and you get used to it. But when I first moved up, I couldn't sleep because it was just, my wife used to leave like all the lights on outside because it was so dark, you know? Now we shut everything.
How often was you hearing the music and stuff like that?
Every night. Every night we'd go to bed, we'd hear it. If you were upstairs in the master bedroom watching TV.
Yeah.
And the TV was on, you didn't hear anything. The minute you shut the TV off and the lights, you would hear the music. Yeah. I don't know where it was coming from. I could never find it. But the funny thing is that mirror is on the wall right below us, you know what I mean? So maybe something was coming up through that mirror, through the wall, you know? Because I've actually went in the walk-in closet. There's like a sliding door inside the closet that leads to the crawl space. And I've crawled all the way across to the other side thinking there's shit inside the crawl space, you know? And I crawled all the way across to the other side and there's nothing there, man. Just cobwebs and dust, you know? But I did one time I was in there. I did take a couple of pictures with my camera, my cell phone, and I got two images that look like cats in the crawl space.
Wow.
You know, and I don't know if those were older cats that we had that passed away that used to go into the closet. Maybe they were able to get into the crawl space and, you know, go and sleep in somewhere in a corner somewhere where nobody would bother them. And maybe they're still going there. Cause I showed Brian the pictures. I said, what do you see? He goes, it looks like two cats. I go, yeah, me too. He goes, would you take this picture? I said, I was in the crawl space and I was just looking to see what was in the crawl space. And I just started taking pictures on all angles. And I got two pictures that looked like cats sitting there, you know, ghost cats.
Yeah. Wow, man.
Yeah, crazy stuff. But I still don't consider this house haunted. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I mean, like the shadow figures, I chase them now. They don't bother me.
How often do you see them, the shadow figures?
I would say maybe now that I do all my shit that I do, maybe once, twice a year. Before that, maybe every 3 months. But like I said, I got stuff all over the room now. I burn white candles. I burn the white sage. I got different kinds of stones in each different corner. I got packets of salt underneath the bed, the mattress where she sleeps to keep her protected, purified. So I got shit all over. Like I said, I try to keep them. I'll even go on the outside of the house and do the outside with the sage. And I got this water this stuff that I put together. It's called the Aqua de Dio, the water of God. And it's got like 100 different purification things in it and cleansing things all mixed into one. And I'll spray it around the base of the house to seal it. This after I cleanse, I'll seal the house, you know, and then I'll always hit the windowsills with a little salt, little holy water and holy oil. Same thing over the closet door and the entrance door to the room, just to kind of seal that room off and make it a safe zone. But after a while, I don't know if the stones, I need to take the stones out and put them back under the moonlight to charge them again. You know what I mean? Or what? I mean, I know the holy water, the holy oil, the salt, they dry up and stuff like that. The salt gets vacuumed up, of course. But it disintegrates the protection, you know, over time. So you got to constantly stay on it, you know. And me, I'm just like every other person in the world. If I'm not having any problems with anything, if it's not broke, you don't fix it, right?
Yeah.
The minute you have an issue, you do everything you need to do to seal everything again, you know. When honestly, I should just stay on top of it so I don't have to wait till my wife has night terrors. But, you know, sometimes I'm lazy and shit happens, you know. But like I said, once I know they're in the room and I can sense them immediately, man. Over the years, I've been so sensitive to their energies. Like it's like, I don't know how you can see darkness through your eyelids when you're sleeping in the dark, but yeah. I can. I mean, it makes no sense. I can't figure it out, but I can. And like I said, you feel the temperature drop. I touch her. She's ice cold. She got chicken skin. I know. Any second she's about to start screaming, because when we first got married, she would have these night terrors. She would scream so loud, she scared the living shit out of me, man. I would jump up out of the bed screaming, like, what are we screaming about? You know, I swear to God, because one minute she's snoring, and the next minute she's like, ah. And she's being, you know, killed with an axe or something, you know, scared the shit out of me. Now, Now I've got it down to a science. I can feel all the different, I can feel all the different energies and everything. I kind of cut it off at the pass, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Man, it's crazy. It's crazy stuff. The longer you do this stuff, the more sensitive you get to different things, you know, like
yeah.
talking to a psychic and he was telling me, oh, do you do this? Do you do that? I go, yeah. He goes, oh, you're clairvoyant. You're clairaudient. You're clair this. You're clair. He goes, you got all the clairs. I was like, okay, that's fine. I do all the clairs, but I don't consider myself clear anything because I can't do it to like a psychic can. You know what I mean? Like I get, it's not on call with me. It just happens. You know what I mean? If I happen to taste something, I'm at a location and I taste something or I smell something or I feel something. It's not that I have any control over it. It's just my sensitivity to those certain energies that I have. So I don't claim to have anything, but apparently all the psychics say I have all the clairs. I said, okay, that's fine. But yeah. I don't consider it because I can't, I'm not like, I don't do readings. I can't walk into a place and say I'm seeing this or that. No, it's just whatever I feel, or if I taste something or I smell something, it is what it is. I don't have any control over it, you know?
Yeah.
And you get so sensitive. The longer you do this shit and the more shit you experience, the different energy, the more everything affects you differently. So you know when your fingers are tingling, you're dealing with this. If you got a metallic taste in your mouth, you're dealing with that. If you're smelling either like cherry tobacco or rose perfume, you know, all these different senses and then you know what kind of energy you're dealing with over the years, you know, experiencing stuff like being touched and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So it's crazy.
Have you ever seen a full bodied spirit?
Just my grandmother, yes, when I was five.
Yeah.
When I was 5 years old, my grandmother lived with us and she spoke was Italian. She didn't speak broken English. All she spoke with Italian. Everybody in the neighborhood spoke Italian. Everybody in those tenement buildings were all related. They were from the same village in Italy. You know what I mean? Everybody was paisans. So when my grandmother died, she had the bedroom. My parents had like a 4-bedroom apartment. And I was asleep. They put me in like a cove. It was like a, I don't know. I wouldn't even know what to do. It was like a space between their bedroom and my grandmother's bedroom. It was just like a little, maybe space where you would put a dresser or something. Well, that's where they put my bed, you know, because I was 5 years old and I was like in a day bed or something. And she had the room right outside and then my sister's room and my brother's room. And when she passed away, I got her room. I got her bed. I was sleeping in her bed with her sheets, her pillows, and the funeral parlor was right across the street from our house. We walked there when we went to the wakes and everything, you know, and back then you would wake them for 3 days in a row. And, you know, and once during the day and once that night, it was a nightmare back then. And for the first week, she would come and she would tuck me in and she would tell me in Italian that she's just, she loves me and she was just here to tuck me in. And that was it. There was no reason to be scared. I wasn't scared of her because it was my grandmother. You know what I mean? Even though I know I just seen her in a coffin across the street, you know, a couple hours before, you know,
wow.
But my mother used to say they would, because she was psychic. And my mother used to say they would hang around for like 3 days, but my grandmother hung around for like a week, you know, for like 5 days, not three. And I couldn't tell my father because he didn't believe in any of that shit, you know? And he seen a real ghost and he didn't believe in ghosts, even though he's seen a ghost, you know? And my mother was psychic. So I would tell her and she said, yeah, don't worry about it. It's just your grandmother just tucking you, she would give me a kiss goodnight, you know? And then she would just fade out and she'd be gone. Like, she'd like look like she was walking out to the hallway to go towards like the living room or the kitchen. And as soon as she would get outside the bedroom door, she would just disappear. I got goosebumps talking about that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
you have told me that before. That is amazing, man. Yeah. Because you had that experience so young, because I saw a ghost when I was 10.
Okay.
A full-bodied man in my room. And I think that's sort of, once you see something like that, and you know there's more to this world,
yeah.
Even as a kid, that changes yeah. everything.
Yeah, it changes everything. Absolutely. Yeah, it changes everything. Yeah. I was never afraid of death as a kid or even now as an adult. As a matter of fact, I always used to tell everybody, I look forward to dying. This way I could, you know, I can go anywhere I want in at the speed of thought. You know what I mean? If I want to go to the catacombs of Rome, if I want to go to Egypt, you know, I can go anywhere in a speed of thought. I could go up to space. I could go anywhere and do anything because I never believed that this was it. You know what I mean? This was never, you know, the end. When you die here, this is it. You don't go. No, I never believed that, man. I always believed there was always so much more. There was so much more to life after death. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just always believed that. People used to think I was nuts when I was telling them, what do you mean you look forward to it? You know, like, dude, I mean, you know, especially when I was, you know, a young guy, you know what I mean? And, you know, working construction, you're barely making enough money to get by. You're struggling to pay the bills and shit. And life, even though you're partying and you're having a good time, life really does suck because, you know, you're stealing from Peter to pay Paul, you know what I mean? So if you could get out and just go anywhere you want in the speed of thought, I mean, it's just like a better deal to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, I never thought that this was the end all, you know, and just, like I said, if I can make it to, like, the first level of heaven, and he gave me an option to come back, I'm staying there. You know what I mean? I ain't coming back. I'm done with this place.
Do you think that reincarnation is what happens? Or do you think
I think if you choose to come back, yes. I think your free will is extended to you even on the other side. You know what I mean? Unless you have like a near-death experience where you're dying and you go and they say, no, it's not your time. You have to go back. Then you can't stay because it's not your time. But I think once your time comes and you go to wherever you go, whatever plane of existence you end up at, if they give you a choice to come back and, you know, try to live a better life to get to a higher plane and you choose to do that, then you can. If you're happy being at the first level and not having to come back and deal with all the bullshit on this planet, you know, on this timeline, this realm, then you should stay where you want, you know?
Yeah.
At least that's the way I feel. That's my opinion anyway.
Yeah.
I always felt that way. I'm not coming back, bro. Believe me. I'm not.
I'm doing this again, man.
No, I, you know what? I say it all the time. What did my ancestors do in Rome when they were in the Roman legions that I'm paying for today? You know what I mean? Because we've did our history back to the Roman legions, and we found two Santa Rigas. They were both had the same name as my father, Fabio. One was the captain of the Praetorian Guard. So I don't know which Caesar he was protecting. And one was his son who became like a high ranking officer. You know what I mean? I don't know what it would be considered today in the military. I don't think it was a general, maybe like a major or a colonel or some crap like that. You know what I mean? Which was his son. So I'm thinking, what did my ancestors do back then that I'm paying for today? You know what I mean? And if I change my name to my mother's maiden name, will life get better? You know, because my last name, in reality, my last name means holy line, you know? So, I mean, But I think about it all the time. If I say my grandfather, who I was named after, was a count in Northern Italy. Okay. And I was thinking, well, my grandfather, I was named after him. He was a count. So if I take his last name instead of my father's last name, maybe his luck will come down with me, you know, will stick to me and my life will get better, you know? But it's just crazy shit. You know, sometimes, you know, you start thinking about shit like that, ancestors
So has anything else happened in the house that you're in now that's freaky or?
No, not that. I think we touched on everything that's happened here. But I mean, like, you know, I've been on so many different paranormal investigations where we've come across so much stuff. We did an investigation one time. I was invited out on an investigation by another group. It was called, they were doing a historical house up here called the John Storm House. Okay. And this guy, John Storm, he was a land baron during the Revolutionary War, you know? And he had a lot of property. And he actually, apparently, he was pretty good to his slaves because they had their own cemetery. You know what I mean? He actually created a slave cemetery for his slaves. I mean, apparently, his slaves really loved him. And, we were doing an investigation there, and the wife was the one who invited us into the investigation. The husband was not a happy camper about it, but the wife was into it, you know, and the house was really old, real historical stuff. So we're in the house and we're doing this investigation. And when the English took the property from the colonial soldiers, they wanted to teach Mr. Storm a lesson for siding with the colonial soldiers, because originally he was from England. He was an English, you know, person, you know, a citizen. So they wanted to teach him a lesson. So the way they taught him a lesson was to hang his daughter. They hung his daughter to show him that was his punishment for siding with the colonial troops. So when the colonial troops took the property back and Mr. Storm got the house, his wife never had any more kids, you know, after that. And so the night we were there, nobody knew this at the time, but the night we were there, her husband was not a happy camper. Didn't want us to investigate the house, but the wife wasn't having it. She wanted it. Well, we were up in the master bedroom. This is crazy. I never seen this happen before. It happened right in front of my eyes. We had K2 meters set up across the room, right? And the husband and the wife were on one side of the room. Psychic was on the other side of the room. And we said, if what's her name, the Mr. Storm's daughter was here, if she would come across the room to the new owners of the house and make contact, and hand to God, every one of those meters lit up as this thing, and you could feel the energy change. And it was 25 people in the room. Everybody's seen it. And I think I got a video of it, as a matter of fact. All the meters lit as she was going across, and she went into the woman on the cat on the bed, and the woman became hysterical. She was freaking out, and she was telling us that she was the John Storm's wife, and she was just giving us information on the property that wasn't even in the record books, right? And then her husband was trying to hold her, like console her, because this woman was unconsolable. The psychic was trying to break the attachment because this woman who owned the house was just unconsolable. And she was fighting with the husband. She was slapping him. She didn't want to. Turned out at the end of the night, when we got the family together, we said, the psychic said, listen, there's something you're not telling us here. What's going on? And we got everybody left. It was just a small group of investigators left and the family. And it turned out that the woman who had the attachment was related to John Storm's wife. She was a descendant of John Storm's wife. Okay. And that's how she got the attachment. And her husband, listen to this, her husband was the commanding officer of the British that hung her. He was related to that guy.
Wow.
I got goosebumps just telling you. How crazy is that? And that's why he didn't want any of that to come out, that he was related to the English commander that hung John Storm's wife. But, and they knew that they were, that's why they bought that house, because it was because the commander said, well, now that I'm going to keep this house for me until the George Washington and those guys pushed them back out, you know. But how crazy is that?
That is crazy.
Isn't that crazy? They were both related to her, to Mrs. Storm, and him to the commanding officer that hung her.
Wow.
Nuts. Wow. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I couldn't believe, because I actually was the guy who drove the psychic home that night. And I was like, dude, what made you keep? Because we went down into the basement, and down in the basement, this guy's descendant, the commanding officer, the English commanding officer, he did some nasty shit to like the slaves down there. He was like butchering them and everything. We were getting EVPs of screams. We were getting EVPs of growls, like demonish kind of growls. And this dude's whole, when he was down in the basement with us, his whole personality changed. Like he had something dark attached to him, because he was like so mad. He wanted to just kick everybody's ass and throw everybody out of there. But, you know, he was a smaller guy and we were all pretty big dudes. So he wasn't going to, kick us. We would have left if he would have asked us, but he wasn't going to kick anybody's ass. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm a pretty big dude and the psychic made me look small. You know what I mean? And the psychic's like, listen, little dude, you better chill out, you know? But it was crazy. And I said, so I'm driving the psychic home. And I'm saying, what, you kept pushing him. Just because I knew they both were hiding something from us the whole damn night. I knew they were. I couldn't put my finger on it, but I knew they were. But when she got that attachment, it was such a direct attachment to her that I knew that Mrs. Storm and her related somehow. And yeah. But I didn't see him being related to the commanding officer of the British, you know? So it was crazy. That was a crazy investigation. Yeah.
Incredible, man.
Yeah. It's just, stuff out of the clear blue sky. And another time we went up to a town called Rhinebeck, New York. They have the oldest hotel in the United States is up there, called the Rhinebeck Inn. And every famous person under the sun has stayed there since President Washington to like John Bon Jovi, you know what I mean? Everybody who came up here when Chelsea Clinton got married, half of the VIPs stayed there, you know? So we're doing an investigation and we're in this hotel and we got the whole hotel to ourselves because we booked out the whole hotel. Everybody was sleeping over, you know? And we're downstairs and we're in this, in the library, and we're in the library and there's three different groups. There's three or four different paranormal groups. Again, we got a really good paranormal unity thing going up here where I live. Everybody kind of works together. We got one group that nobody associates with. Otherwise everybody works together and we're all sitting in the library and I got dowsing rods going. I'm at one door. So one person's at the other door and someone's at the other door, and we all got dowsing rods going and they're asking questions. And two of the dowsing rods are going like yes and no and this and that. And mine's not moving for jack shit. So a little thought comes to my head, and I was like, we're in Rhinebeck, New York, that was settled by the Dutch. I go, Sprechen die Deutsch. And the dowsing rods cross. Okay. So now, by chance, the woman sitting to my right is German and she speaks fluent German. Okay. We couldn't have planned a better gig, right? She's sitting next to me. And so now we start asking questions in English and in German, the same questions. And when we do, all of the dowsing rods are moving in unison, because now the one energy next to me is understanding what they're saying in German, you know, because now we're all saying the same. And then we stopped and we just asked it in German, and only the one, my dowsing rods were moving. The other two didn't move. It was crazy. I mean, that was good. And then the woman by the across from me by the door, she had the wall behind her, right outside her door was like a dining room, and the wall was mirrored, okay, in the dining room. And I'm looking at her and I see somebody in the mirror, in the chair, watching her do the thing. So I'm thinking it's somebody else who's, because we had like three different groups going on three different floors. And I'm thinking it's somebody. It's what the group was just, you know, got misled. So she's just sitting out there. So the woman who was by the door, her name was Maria. And I go, hey, Maria, why don't you invite the woman sitting in the chair behind you in? Because she's sitting out there all by herself. So she goes, oh, of course, Al. And she turns around and there's nobody there. And she goes, what are you talking? She goes, Al, what woman? I go, the woman that was sitting right behind you. Because there's nobody here. I go, Maria. The whole time we did all of this stuff with the dowser, I'm looking at her in the mirror. I can see her sitting there, and she's sitting there looking at you doing the dowsing rods. He goes, well, did you see her get up and walk away? I go, no. He goes, well, she's not there now. And then Maria closed the door. She's like, I'm going to close this door, you know? Yeah, so there was a ghost in the dining room watching us do our experiments. I went into the dining room, and I always like to get in before everybody gets in there. I like to do my own little thing, see what I feel, and then come back later with a group and see what they feel. And there was like six booths that went back towards the wall. And when I got to the last booth on the right, it just had a bad vibe to it. Just not good energy at all. You know what I mean? And I was like, oh, I don't like this one at all, you know? And then I came out. And then other people would go in, and there was a psychic leading one of the groups, and she was like, okay. And she's touch this booth, you'll feel this, and you'll feel that. And I did that on the way up. I touched all the booths. And when I got to the one in the back, it had a bad vibe to it, you know what I mean? A dark energy. And she's going, and she gets to the one in the back, and she goes, nobody touched this one. She said, because there's something dark attached to it. She goes, so we should move away from this booth. Give this booth a lot of... And I started laughing. I was like, oh, wow, that's the one I touched. And I felt that.
Yeah.
Then we went down into the basement. And back in the old days, the basement was the kitchen, where they had this giant fireplace, like the size of this room I'm in, right? Where they would cook for the whole hotel. And I go downstairs. A friend of mine, Bill, he's running the room downstairs, you know, and he's got his camera stuff set up and everything. And I walk in there, I get down there before my group is supposed to get down there, and I'm walking, and I get to a certain point in the back of the basement, and it was just like doom. Like there was an energy, just like, nope. You don't go any further than this. And I got to that energy and I felt that energy. And I said, nope, I'm going to turn right around. I don't like the way this feels. Whatever this is, it doesn't want me here. and I'm not gonna piss it off. And I turned around and I left, and I was walking towards the kitchen where the big fireplace was to go talk to Bill when the psychic came down the steps, right? And she came down the steps and I said, well, let me see what happens with her. And she's walking and she's feeling the energy, and she gets to the same exact spot I do. And she goes, oh no, fuck this. She goes, wow, I don't like the energy here. She goes, I'm not going any further than this. And she comes back and I go, Melissa, what'd you feel over there? She goes, what'd you feel? I said, I felt like there was something pushing me out. It didn't want me in. It felt like there was darkness there. She goes, I don't know what's back there. She goes, but whatever's back there, there's something there that doesn't want us going in there. So then we all go into the kitchen area and we're filming and we're doing EVPs and, you know, and the K2 meters are jumping around and it's that. And then Melissa says, let me try something. And she lit candles. She lit three candles on the, what do you call that? Part of the fireplace on the top, the mantelpiece, right? She lit candles on the mantel. And then she started saying, okay, she started asking questions and said, you know, make this candle rise. And the candles were dancing. I never seen anything like this in my life where she could have like three candles with the flame 6 inches high and say, okay, the two on the outside, just drop down to 1 inch, and they would drop down. And then she would say, okay, the two on the outside, go up, and the one in the middle come down. And there were people in the room who thought it was rigged. They thought it was rigged. They're like, this is bullshit. This is rigged. And I'm telling them, dude, those candles weren't even in here when I came in the room. Melissa brought them down with her from upstairs on the dining room. They're on the dining room table. And I never seen anything like that ever in my life. Candles dancing. She had flames doing all kinds of shit. It was amazing. I don't know if you've ever seen anything like that, but the first time you see it, it's going to blow your mind. Absolutely blow your mind.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Did you get that on film? Or?
I did get it on film. I did. I believe I was filming that night. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
But I got so much video and photographs. Yeah. I don't even know where anything is. I swear to God, I got so much shit. Yeah. I was telling Brian about it. Dude, you should have came out the other night. He just lives too far away to make the trip. You know what I mean? And he didn't want to spend the night at the hotel because it was haunted. He didn't want to sleep in a haunted hotel, you know? Yeah. We slept in that room. And it was funny. When we went to bed, my wife got tired real early. She went to bed early, but we stayed up late. At one point, you couldn't go up in the attic anymore because people were sleeping on the second floor and they didn't want people walking up. So the attic they cut the attic off after 12. And I went up to bed like at 2 o'clock in the morning. When we, you know, after everything was all over, we went to the bar. We had a couple of cold ones and just talked about what was going down tonight. You know, all the shit that happened because the place, there was so much stuff going on in so many different rooms because there was three different groups going at once and everybody was experiencing crazy stuff, you know? So everybody's a little bit wound up. Everybody just couldn't go to sleep. So I went to the bar, had a couple of pops and did a couple of shots, went up to get to sleep, went to bed and we're in bed sleeping and I heard walking around above me all night. And the attic, when the place was being run in the 1700s. The attic had rooms. Like it was one giant room and then it had rooms off it. And I took a lot of photographs up there. I got crazy orb photos, all kinds of shit. I got pictures of the K2 meters going nuts up there. There was, when we were up there, the psychic said that there was still a slave woman up there with two little kids living up there. And when I went to bed that night, I swear to God, I heard kids running around up playing, like just like two kids, like a boy and a girl running around upstairs. And I was like, okay, it's the slaves. They're running around. You know what I mean? And then the TV came on by itself. Uh-huh. All of a sudden the TV goes, boom, you know, you get all that static and shit. And I'm trying to shut it off before it wakes my wife up because I don't want her getting up all pissed and everything, you know? Yeah, meanwhile, man, I'm looking for the fire escape. What's the next exit out of this room if I have to make a mad dash? You know what I mean? Because I'm not playing with running through the front door, you know? Yeah. I'm getting out of fire escape closest to my car. But I got up. I unplugged the TV. Eventually, the kids, I went upstairs. I actually went upstairs and I said, I'm sorry, but it's late. I know there's no time on the other side where you guys are, but I was talking to the mother. I said, could you please have the children, you know, go to bed now so we could get some sleep. And when the sun comes up, then the kids can run around all day long. No, they're not going to bother anybody. And as soon as I did that, the running stopped.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess the mother said, okay, it's time to stop messing around. People are trying to sleep, you know, plus they were slaves. They were probably afraid, you know, of disturbing the people who owned the restaurant or the inn or whatever, the inn master or whatever they call those people, you know. So that was crazy. That place was so much activity in that place. Yeah. It was crazy.
That must be awesome, man, when you go in and you're just getting all this stuff.
Oh, it's just amazing. Like every room we went into, there was something. But I think the library, the dining area in the basement, in the attic too, those were like the main hot spots. You know what I mean? That was the first time I ever seen the dowsing rods work in two different languages, you know, at the same time. That was the first time I ever seen the flames dance and go up and down, you know, seen it on TV, but always thought it was bullshit, to be honest, Richard. You know what I mean? And you see it with your own two eyes. You see the woman. Now, I know the psychic Melissa is a real deal. She doesn't hoax anything. She got the candles from the dining room tables, you know what I mean? And she lit them one by one. And those things were just, I mean, it's amazing to see like a wick this big burn a flame a foot long.
Yeah, man.
How does that happen? You know what I mean? How does that little 1-inch wick burn a flame a foot long? Yeah. You know, it was just crazy. No, it's amazing stuff. I mean, I've seen enough shit to know that there is life on the other side. Yeah. And it can interact with us whenever it wants to, you know, and it's probably around us all the time, 24/7. I'm a big believer that if a place has, I don't want to say haunted, if a place has energy or spirits, they're there 24/7, because time doesn't exist anywhere else but here. You know what I mean? There's no time anywhere else but on our realm, you know?
I was just going to ask you that as well before I was just going to say, do you think there's spirits around us all the time?
All the time. And I think if we were able to see in more spectrums of light than we could see in, we'd probably see them all around us, you know? Yeah. If we had a kaleidoscope that could go into different spectrums, different realms, we'd see it. We'd see everything around us. Because we see in such a limited capacity, you know? All of our senses are so limited compared to the animals in the wilderness, you know? So, I mean, even hearing and stuff like that. And I mean, I just think over the years, we've been so dumbed down and beaten down to lose all of our extrasensory perceptions, our ESP and our sensitivity. I think anyone can do it. And I think everybody has the ability to do it. Some people better than others. Some people are just, it's hereditary. Some people may have like a little bit of spark that needs to be, you know, grown, you know, like go to classes and learn how to use it, your energies and stuff like that. But I think we all can do it. I think at some point in time, it's just a matter of doing it, you know, but I've seen some shit, man. We went to, I don't know what time it is. We got time or no?
Yeah, we got time, man. We've nearly done 2 hours, but we've got time as long as you're happy.
One more story. one more experience. We were going to a place called Letchworth Village Insane Asylum. Okay, we were going to go there. Now, the way this came up was a friend of mine who used to come out with me on investigations before I put the team together. She had gone there with her friend. It was a woman. She went there with her friend. She had heard about the place and she went there with her friend. And she was in there and they're walking around the place. They're in the cafeteria and a chair moved by itself and freaked her out, you know. Now you're not supposed to be in this building. It's off limits to the general public. It's, you know, it's private property, the whole nine yards. And she had known some people that were there, a couple of college kids who the girls got their hair pulled, the boys got pushed down steps. You know, she actually introduced me to them so I could interview them before we went so we could get an idea what to expect. But she said the craziest thing that happened while she was there, not that the chair moving by itself wasn't crazy enough, because it looked like, she said, somebody kicked the chair across the room. You know, it was not a happy camper, she said. Yeah. But they're walking through the insane asylum where they're not supposed to be, and they hear somebody on their phone saying, "Hello, are you there? Hello." Now, nobody dialed out. Nobody heard their phone ring. The phone was on. So this woman picks up the phone and says, "Hello." And she hears a guy says, "Hello, what do you want?" And she goes, "I didn't call you. You called me." And the guy goes, "No, this is the police department. Your phone number called us. What do you want?" And she says, "I don't want anything. I didn't call you." So the cop says, "Where are you?" And he goes, "Be honest with me." And she says, "I'm on the grounds of the same." She didn't want to say she was inside, because, you know, so I'm on the grounds of the insane asylum. She says, the cop says, "Oh, that makes sense. Are you with another woman or are you with a guy?" She goes, "I'm just being an girlfriend." He goes, "Okay, that makes sense." He goes, "Whenever just women are there alone, their phones call us all the time." He said, "Now I want you to hang up the phone and get the hell out of there and go home. Because if I come out there and I find you on a property, I'm going to arrest you because you're not supposed to be on." Wow. But whatever pushed that chair to scare them did not want them in there. And it called the police department on them. So she tells me, she's like, "Al, you got to go to this place." So I talked to all my guys. I'm like, "We're going to go." Everybody's like, "Yeah, let's go. Let's go." Everybody's all psyched up for going. So I don't tell my psychic anything. My psychic calls me and she says, "What are you guys planning?" And I said, "Why?" She goes, "I have the feeling of, I'm being overwhelmed with the feeling of sorrow, a lot of pain, misery, and sorrow. But I don't know where you guys are going, but wherever you're going, understand there's an old woman there who's looking forward to seeing you. And she's waiting for you. And she's going to make her presence known." Okay. Well, some old woman is going to be waiting for us. No problem. We take it with a grain of salt. You know what I mean? It's called Letchworth Village because there's hundreds of buildings. It's like a village. And we hit a lot of different buildings before we finally got to the main hospital, you know? And she said she was in the main hospital. So as I break everybody up into three different teams. Brian takes a group of guys up on the top floor. There's another group in between me and Brian. I'm in the basement and we're doing our thing. We got walkie-talkies to keep in touch, but we don't want to contaminate each other's evidence. So we got everybody split up. So at one point I call everybody on the walkie-talkie. Anthony's down in the basement. I'm on the second floor and Anthony's freaking out. He's like, "Down in the goddamn basement. I got turned around down here. I can't find my way out. Every time I head towards the stairwell, it's sealed. How do I get out of here?" I say, "Calm down." I said, "Relax." Because he's with like two other guys. I said, "Calm down." I'm going to go to the stairwell and I'm going to flash my flashlight. You'll see. And so he was at the wrong end of the building. He finally said, we all meet on the second floor. I called Brian down. Brian comes down and we're all hanging around in the middle of the floor on the second floor. And a group of like high school kids come up out of the morgue. They come up out of the morgue, a group of kids, and they're like 12, 13, 14-year-old kids, you know what I mean? And they're not taking this shit serious. They're not doing anything to protect themselves. They think it's a joke, yada, yada, yada. So one of the kids says, hey, man, we got an EVP down at the morgue. I go, oh, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, you want to hear it? I says, yeah, we'd love to hear it. He says, yeah, it's an old lady. She's yelling at us to get out of the morgue. So he plays it, and you can hear an old lady's voice like, what the hell are you doing here? Get the hell out of here. Like, she wasn't waiting on them. She was waiting on us. So then I look around, and these are all young kids, you know. I look at Brian. I give him a little wink. I said, play along with me. And he's like, okay, all right. He's laughing because we're all pretty big guys. You know, I'm 6 foot, Brian's 6'3". We had a couple other guys with us that were like 6'3". And we surround these kids, right? And I said to the kid, I said, let me ask you a question. Anybody know you're here? He's like, no, we didn't tell anybody. I go, you guys park your cars? Your cars are here? He said, no, we're all local. We walk here. So no one knows you're here. You don't have anything to prove that you're here, right? Like, no. I said, so if we kill you right now, no one will know you're here until they find your bodies rotting in the basement. And you should have seen the look on these kids. They go white as a ghost. And one of them had a girlfriend with him. And this girl is about to cry hysterical, right? And we're all standing. And all of a sudden, they're all looking up at this. And I think, oh, my God, we're going to die, you know? And then I start laughing. Brian's like, well, now we're just messing with you, you know what I mean? We're just playing with you. And the guy goes, the kids go, well, we'll tell you where to park so the cops don't see your cars. And he told us where to park behind the building, because when the cops come through, they just drive through in the front. And if you park your cars in behind the building, they'll never see him. He says, and you can always see him. They always come in from this corner, and you have to shut your headlamps off. Otherwise, they'll know you're in the building. But the kids gave us a lot of good information. You know what I mean? So we moved our cars. So the kids leave. So we get down there, and I took a picture. Brian was down in the basement. I was up on the top floor, and we switch, and I go, anything? He goes, and through the whole time we were there, the K2 meter never went off once. There's no, and we didn't get any hits on the K2 meter or the Periscope one. Nothing went off the whole time we were there. So Brian says, I don't know, I walked past this elevator downstairs in the basement. So I think this is where Anthony got freaked out, because I felt something dark in that elevator, you know? It's like, okay, I'm going to go down there next and I'll let you know if I feel anything. When I got down there, I felt like there was something staring at me from the hallway. And the hallways are long. They're like 100 yards long hallways. And I took a picture of it. And in the photograph, there's a shadow figure standing there that's taller than the doorway. The doorways were 7-8 feet tall. And this thing's head is a foot above it. So it's 9 feet tall. So I see this and I go, what do you guys see? And everybody says, there's a shadow figure. I said, let's go down and find out who Mr. Shadow Figure is, right? So as we're walking down, one by one, when we pass that elevator shaft, everybody stopped and said, oh man, this elevator's got a bad vibe to it. You know, Al, you got to come here. You got to check this elevator out. I didn't tell him that Brian had just told me that when he was coming up. So I went in there and I was going to jump down into the elevator. And I said, you know what, nah, that elevator may come crashing down and flatten me, you know? So I said, I didn't even want to stick my head in there, but I just like kind of peeked in, and there was definitely something dark hiding in the darkness in that space. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was the only time I felt darkness when I was there. But there was definitely something dark. Then we were up on, then we all meet again. We're all up on the second floor. And I'm taking pictures down the hallway. And then I'll send you the photographs if you want. And yeah. one of the photos, there's a blue mist coming into. Now, I don't see this with my own eyes. I don't see this until after I've looked at the digital camera, right? I take a, and I always take my pictures in threes, right? Boom, 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 boom. And there's a blue mist. Then there's this electrical kind of plasma thing starting to come together. Almost looks like Casper the Friendly Ghost, what like lightning coming out of its hands, right? It's this weird looking thing. And then the third picture, the third photograph is a picture of just a woman's bust from her chest up, an old lady with a long chin and a long nose with two buns on the side of her head. And that was the old lady that the psychic said was waiting on us, right? We don't see this until we get home and we look at the photographs now, because I'm going boom, 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 boom. So then we decide we're going to call the psychic, okay? So we said, call the psychic. And the psychic says, okay, where are you guys going next? We said, well, we're going to go into the operating room. I think that's the last room we're going to hit that night. We're going to go into the operating room. She starts, she goes, okay, when you get into the operating room, you're going to find a board game with the starts with the letter O. Okay. So all of us guys being New Yorkers start breaking her chops, man. We're laughing at her like she's a fucking idiot. And we're thinking, oh yeah, we're gonna find the operation game, the little fat guy with the red nose, right? And we're all laughing. And she says, you guys can all go fuck yourself, because when it's all said and done, you're gonna see everything I said come true tonight. Which is always the case anyway, okay? So we're laughing, we're going to find the operation. So we get into the basement. I mean, we get into the operating room. And the operating room is not that big. And it's got one table in the operating room. And it's got nothing but debris and a broken down TV on it, okay? So we all put like our bag backpacks up there, because we don't want to put them on the floor. We put them up there. And we just start spreading. Everybody spread out. Let's look for this board game. And we all spread out and we're taking pictures. And I got a picture of one of my guys, Paul, in the corner. He's in the corner taking pictures of us. I'm by the operating table. I'm by the table taking pictures of it. And above him is a ghost watching him. He didn't see it. And I didn't see it until after I looked at the photographs, but I caught a picture of a ghost hovering above him, watching him take pictures of us. Everybody's spreading out. Nobody can find this game, board game. The room's not that big. We can't find. All of a sudden, there's a metal conduit hanging down in the middle of the floor room. And right next to it is a piece of rope. Now the conduit is swinging left and right. Like somebody has got it and swinging it, but the rope that's attached to the same pole is not moving. How does the conduit move? A metal tubing, but not the rope. So Brian says, don't touch it, don't touch it. He comes over with his black light and he's looking for fingerprints, right? Now everybody is in a circle around this rope and this conduit. We're looking for handprints, any kind of evidence that something was touching it, and we're trying to figure out how does this metal conduit move and the piece of string right next to it don't move. They're both attached to the same goddamn pole, you know? So all of a sudden, my guy Paul goes back to the table to get another piece of equipment out of his bag, and he goes, guys, come back to the table. You're not going to believe this. And I go, what's going on? He says, come back to the table. So we'll go back to the table and to God. We get back to the table and there's a fucking Ouija board on the table with an old plastic. It looked like it was made in the 1700s. Where it came from is beyond me. As a matter of fact, you can hear me in the video. I think we got it on the YouTube channel. You hear me saying, don't touch that fucking planchette. And one of these guys, one of my guys, Alan, touched it And he touched me with it. And I told him, I said, Alan, I'll knock you the fuck out right here. If you touch me with that thing again, I swear to God, I'll knock you right the fuck out. You know, oh, come on, Al, I'm only playing. I go, don't play with that shit. I don't play with this shit. You know, like, Ouija board was never a thought that came across any of our minds. But the psychic said there would be a board game in that room that started with the letter O.
Wow.
And it just blew our mind at that point.
Just appeared out of nowhere as well.
Like, out of nowhere, around all of our backpacks were on this table. And the only other thing on this table was a broken down TV. And just like debris, like broken glass and like thick tile ceilings and shit like that. Where this thing came from is beyond me. It just appeared in between all our backpacks, and it looked like it was 200 years old. And one of our guys, Anthony, wanted to take it because I'm going to take this home. And Brian goes, wait a minute, you're driving in my car. You're not taking that shit home in my car. I got to put my kids in my car. He said, if you take that shit home, you go home with Al. And I go, no, he's not coming home with me. I said, you go home with Brian. You go home with Paul. I said, you're not taking. Because Anthony is one of those guys who likes to take souvenirs, you know? And we always tell him, whenever we're going out, don't take any souvenirs. Yeah. We know you like to do this shit. Don't take it. And if you're going to take it, let us know. Because depending on what you're taking, you know, you're not bringing it in our cars. You know what I mean? Anthony always used to like to take his own car, you know? This way he could just take whatever he wanted. But
you don't know what you're bringing back when you do that.
You don't know. You're going to bring a Ouija board back that appeared in a room that did horrendous operations on retarded people, small children, old adults, just horrific things they did to these people in this insane asylum. You know what I mean? Who knows what's attached to that thing? Nobody knows where it came from. It just appeared out of thin air. Where did this thing come from? We put our backpacks on the table. There was nothing there but a broken down TV. We come back and it was, and that's the thing. That conduit moving was it trying to get our attention off of that table and focus on something else so that it could put that Ouija board there for us to find. Yeah. So from now on, whenever I go on investigations and I'm in a room and I'm doing experiments and I hear banging on a room outside, I don't run outside anymore. I stay right where I am. Yeah. Because that means something is trying to distract me from what I'm doing. I'm getting too close to something and it wants me to go somewhere else. So yeah. I don't do that shit anymore. Ever since that day, if I would have stayed at that table while everybody else was around that conduit and I was filming them, I don't know if that Ouija board would have showed up. But the psychic knew it. And when we got back to our cars, we called her. We went to the diner afterwards for a bite to eat and a cup of coffee. And we called her and she said, see, you thought I was fucking crazy. You thought I was joking. She goes, did you check your cameras for the old lady yet? And we go, no. She goes, check your camera. You got a picture of her. I was like, okay. And then when I did check the cameras, there she was.
Wow, man.
Crazy stuff, man. And you got
a picture of another ghost above.
Above Paul. Yeah, I'll send you that one too. If you want.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. And it was funny too, because when I showed Paul, I said, Paul, because Paul was a pretty sensitive guy, you know? And I said, Paul, did you feel anything in this picture? He goes, you know, I kind of felt something over my right shoulder. He goes, that's why I didn't go all the way in the corner. I was a little bit out to the left of the corner because I felt like there was something there. He goes, but I looked around. I didn't see anything, you know, because with his own eyes, he didn't see it. I didn't see it with my own eyes, but it was there in the photograph.
How was it? Was it like a full apparition or?
It was wispy, like it was ghostly, like it was like you can see the head and the eyes and the white body, and it kind of just whisked up into like a point, like It was weird, man. It was really weird. We tried to debunk it. Like, we ran it through all kinds of filters and shit just to see if it was something else up there, you know, but there was nothing else there, you know. It was just crazy. I mean, that place was insane. Yeah.
Awesome, man.
Yeah. So, and that's just some of the paranormal stuff tonight. You know what I mean?
So oh, I love it, man. Awesome stuff.
Another 2 hours.
We've done another 2 hours. Another 2 hours.
Another 2 hours. Oh my
there's,
God.
There's still more to come. 100%.
I mean, there's so many paranormal investigations and stuff. And, you know, I think we basically touched on all the UFO stuff and the Bigfoot stuff and Dogman stuff. But there was just been so many investigations over the years. I don't even think we touched on any of the stone chamber stuff or anything like that, you know, ancient stone chambers and stuff like that. We got up here. We've done a bunch of investigations in them as well. Just, you know, all kinds of stuff going on in those things too. The energy in those places are crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, I'm looking forward to part 5.
Oh, God. Your audience is going to hate me, man.
Not at all, man. And we're going to do a show with yourself and Brian as well.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be cool. Without a doubt, yeah.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Can you tell the audience where they can find you and your YouTube channel and everything?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, you could find me at the Bronxville Paranormal Society Facebook group page. The www.bronxvilleparanormalsociety.com, Bronxville Paranormal Society YouTube page. You could also find me on the New York State Sasquatch Organization, the New York State UFO Project, and the New York State Dogman Project. All of those pages are on Facebook. And, you know, if you have any questions for me that, you know, you could reach out to me personally on Facebook, message me, PM me. I'll have no problem answering any of your questions. You know, I look forward to any questions anybody has. And that's basically the easiest place to find me is Facebook. Brian's got us on all kinds of social media, and I, you know, he just trolls social media all day long. I ain't got the patience for that shit. I just look at Facebook. If it's there's something there, there is. If there's not, there's not. I've also, Brian and I are both directors of the North American Dogman Project, New York State chapter. And I'm also a member of New York State MUFON chapter. So, awesome. But, you know, all over the place.
Awesome stuff, brother. I really appreciate you coming back on and giving us another 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome fun stuff, time. Man. I always love talking to you, Tommy. Anytime, brother.
Thank you very much, man. Thank
you.
You
got it, brother. Good night.
Let's get freaky.
Something's in your room. You can't move. You can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?